The epistle appointed to be read for the third Sunday after Pentecost, or the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom ye resist in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. In the Holy Gospel, it is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. At that time the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, laid upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, many of us here are familiar with Father Matteo Crawley. He was born in the year 1875. He died in the year 1960. He spent his priestly life traveling throughout the world, preaching the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and in particular, the practice of the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the homes of Catholic people. You see, Father Matteo conceived the idea of bringing Catholic families closer to the Sacred Heart by enthroning the image of the Sacred Heart in a place of honor in their home. And by means of the image, the heart of Jesus itself. In fact, he devised a ceremony for enthroning the Sacred Heart in the homes of the faithful. And by this means, he sought to make the heart of Jesus the king of the Catholic family, and thus extend the reign of Christ over the entire world. And the Sacred Heart blessed his work. For 50 years, Father Matteo traveled around the whole world, spreading the devotion to the Sacred Heart by the enthronement. He thus worked to restore the reign of Christ the King over society by restoring the family to the love of God by devotion to the Sacred Heart. His work received the approbation and the blessing of four popes, including Pope St. Pius X and countless bishops and priests around the world. His work was even respected. It was even welcomed by many public officials and heads of state. But on one of his visits to Italy, he was invited by the Archbishop of Bologna to preach the Sacred Heart and the enthronement to a Catholic ladies' group. Here is what Father Matteo wrote about this occasion. I had just given a lecture on the enthronement and its spirit to a large and distinguished group of ladies, and was about to descend from the platform when the archbishop said to me, "Wait a moment, Father, I have a word to say. You have just preached to us a great truth, but let me add the final amen. On the great feasts, my cathedral and the churches are filled by enormous crowds. And notwithstanding this, I do not see that my people are improving or becoming sincerely Christian. And this is due to what you have said, Father. Many Catholic people think they have done all that is required when they have attended Mass or taken part in a religious ceremony. But on returning to their homes, they do not find Jesus in them. Our Lord is not the life of the family. The house is far from being a tabernacle. And this, the Archbishop concluded, this is a great fault of Catholic family life today. Now, my dear friends, today's epistle concludes with the words, "To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen." In other words, to our Lord Jesus Christ be glory and victory forever and ever. Amen. While our divine Savior and King already has the victory over his enemies, already has the victory over sin and death by his own passion and death on the cross, still, our divine Savior seeks a victory. That is to say, the submission of all nations, all families, and the hearts of each and every individual person to him and the gentle reign of his Sacred Heart. And thus did Father Mateo seek to bring about this victory by preaching the devotion to the Sacred Heart and the solemn enthronement of the heart of Christ in the home. For according to Father Mateo, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the home is the official and social recognition of the rule of the Sacred Heart over the Christian family. And this rule of the Sacred Heart, he said, is outwardly expressed by the permanent and the solemn installation of the image of the Divine Heart in a prominent place in the home, with the official act of consecration. Thus, the act of consecration and the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home is an invitation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to reign in our homes as the King. But my dear friends, we have to ask ourselves whether or not we have had the Sacred Heart officially enthroned in our homes. Though if you have not had the Sacred Heart enthroned in your homes by a priest, I strongly encourage you to have this done sooner than later. But we all have to ask ourselves this morning, does Christ truly reign as the King of our homes? Does he reign over our homes, our families, our hearts, and our lives? As that archbishop said at the end of Father Mateo's talk, many Catholic people think they have done all that is required when they have attended Mass or taken part in a religious ceremony, but on returning to their homes, he said, they do not find Jesus in them. Our Lord, he said, is not the life of their family. The house is far from being a tabernacle. And this is a great fault of Catholic family life today. Do you know, my dear people, this is as true today as it was 75 years ago. It is not enough to attend the Mass on Sundays, holy days, or occasional ceremonies, and thus live our faith, as it were, at the chapel only. We have to live our Catholic faith in our homes as well. Now, I am aware that some of you do drive a distance to be at Mass on Sundays and holy days and even feast days. And I do commend you for this. But still, we must ask ourselves, does the Sacred Heart of Jesus truly reign as the King of our homes and our hearts? Do we have devotion to the Sacred Heart in our home? Is the image of the Sacred Heart in our home, but with little or no devotion to that heart? Do we pray the family rosary every day and the act of consecration of the family to the Sacred Heart after, or at least on Fridays? Are the commandments of God the rule of the home and our hearts? And do we ensure that movies and television and modern music that are impure or contain grave immodesty or obscene language, do we ensure that these things have no place in our homes? For such things as these, my dear friends, as well as the wearing of immodest and sinful low-cut clothing, cannot have a place in our lives if we will save our souls. Furthermore, it must be asked, do our parents protect their children by supervising with the utmost care the use of the internet in the home? There are too many reckless parents in our world today who hand their children gadgets and smartphones without any safeguards, exposing them to grave dangers to their eternal salvation. Did you know that according to the latest polls, over 90% of young people as young as 13 or 14 years of age, 90% are regularly viewing impurity and sin on the internet. Over 90% of children regularly viewing impurity. That doesn't even include the younger ones who are not regularly. How our Catholic parents must exercise the greatest care, prudence, and restraint in regard to the use of the internet. And for that matter, my dear friends, all Catholic people, if they will save their souls, must exercise such care and caution in regard to the internet. But we must ask as well, my dear friends, are Christ's laws of charity the laws that reign in our homes? Are our husbands and fathers loving, kind, and responsible husbands and fathers? Do husbands and fathers strive to imitate the meekness and the kindness of the Sacred Heart and treat their wives with kindness and consideration? Are wives and mothers loving and respectful to their husbands? Do they strive to act patiently with their husbands? Are children obedient to their parents? Are they helpful to their parents? Do they speak respectfully to their parents or about their parents to others? Or, God forbid, do they quarrel with their parents and raise their voices to them? Are brothers and sisters kind, patient, and forgiving towards each other, holding no grudges or resentment towards each other? Well, you see, my dear people, if the homes of our Catholic families who attend Mass regularly and receive the sacraments frequently, if such homes nonetheless are characterized by quarreling, fighting, impatience, or uncharitableness, then something is really wrong. I don't know if you know that when our Divine Savior appeared to St. Margaret Mary, He made her 12 special promises. 12 special promises to those who would love His Sacred Heart and who would honor His Sacred Heart with devotion. And among the wondrous promises He made is the one in which He declared, "I will give peace to their families." I will give peace to their families. Do you understand, my dear friends, what He is saying? The eternal Son of God made man is saying that He promises to bring peace to your hearts and to your homes. For it is sad to say, but true, that even in traditional Catholic families, this peace which only Christ can give is not to be found. And the reason, my dear people, is not hard to discover. It is because the love of the Sacred Heart does not reign. You know, trials and tribulations and sorrows are a part of this life. They cannot be avoided. But even in the midst of such things and the heavy crosses that we all must carry, we can have peace. We can have peace in our hearts as our Blessed Mother had peace in her heart, even though it was driven through by swords of sorrow, as she stood beneath the cross of Christ, watching her divine Son gasping to breathe and slowly dying. Though her heart was pierced, it was at peace. And it was at peace because Christ reigned in her heart. If we want peace in our families, if we want peace in our hearts and in our homes, we must love the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We must be devoted to Him individually and as a family. Father Mateo once wrote, "In the home which acclaims the heart of Jesus as its King of Love, The enthronement ought to be the beginning of a new life. This means, he wrote, sharing our family life with Jesus, to whom a throne has been offered, precisely in order that he may remain and abide with his friends, blessing everything in the house from dawn to evening and from the cradle to the grave. Let the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus then be solemnly enthroned in your homes. Honor his Sacred Heart by frequent prayers and devotions in your homes. Honor his Sacred Heart by making his laws of charity, forgiveness, and purity the laws of your homes. For if we love and honor his Sacred Heart, my dear friends, we can have the utmost confidence that he will bless us and our families and abide with us always, as Father Mateo said, as a friend. And not just a friend, but a true friend. In other words, he will weep with us in times of sorrow. He will rejoice with us in times of joy. He will be our consolation and our strength in times of suffering and sorrow. He will give us the graces we need to persevere in the practice of our holy faith and to patiently and calmly carry the many crosses of our state in life. And he will give us the grace to save our souls for heaven. How much easier it is to live in struggle, Father Mateo once said. How much easier it is to live in struggle, to keep a bright face in spite of our sorrows, when Jesus is the center of the home. When Jesus presides over the home as a friend, a confidant, and king. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.